Hello, everybody, and welcome. Hey, run a little late. Had a technical glitch, but that's all right. This is going to be a great show. And this is my first show wearing short sleeves because it actually felt like spring. And I said, what the heck? And yeah, I know I'll get some comments, but I think real men wear pink. So there. And not only in October. Let's remember, October, you can wear pink and get away with it because it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. But we're a long way from there. But I wanted to talk about another health situation that's going on, the ongoing situation with our pandemic, COVID-19. I've got some statistics for you, and they're as of probably just an hour ago from Johns Hopkins University. And right now, hard to believe that the first reported case was way back on January 22nd, and that was in Washington State at a nursing home, of course. But since January 22nd, 2020, now there are over 1.5 million cases, and there have been 93,439 deaths. And I'm sure since I took these figures down, it's probably ticked up a little bit. But the good news on this is that the five-day moving average nationally is actually tracking down for the first time. So looks like that's a good thing. But that coincides with all 50 states to some degree lifting to some degree their stay-at-home orders. So now you have people out there mixing it up. And we've talked about it before, and we'll talk about it again, how some people are ignoring it. I hear the Ohio State Fair has been canceled this year. I'm getting conflicting reports on whether or not the Canfield Fair has been canceled. I'll try to keep you posted on that. But the thing is, speaking of these deaths and these many deaths, it seems like, and for sure, I'm Mo Ray, and I call this the other side, for a reason, because there's a lot of people out there pushing the president's agenda. Talk radio is almost exclusively right-wing. Fox News, the highest-rated cable news network, is very much state television for Donald Trump. And their average viewer is 65 years old. These are people who are most at risk for this disease, yet they are the recent polling indicated that only about a third of Republicans believe that there's going to be a resurgence in this of this disease in the fall, when there's a very good chance there could be, particularly now that more and more people are ignoring social distancing. They're not wearing their mask. And by the way, you wear the mask so that you don't infect someone else. But that's being pushed a lot, and that's true. But another study I was looking at said that over 70% of people, you know, you have a 70% lesser chance of catching the disease if you're wearing a mask. So it does serve a purpose both ways. But there's all kinds of questions about this. And for me, when you get near 100,000 deaths from any disease, I'm getting posts on Facebook and emails from people who are saying things like, you got to put things in perspective. This many people are dying in car wrecks. This many people are dying of this and that. And I get that. But the difference here is that if we had moved sooner, maybe we wouldn't be in the position we are now. If this had been, and now you've got to wonder about the wisdom. I know everybody was getting cabin fever. The weather was getting good. People wanted to get out. People are losing money on their jobs. They may lose their businesses completely. I understand that frustration. And I sympathize with those people, not to mention the other people I talked about the other day who are, they haven't received an unemployment check yet. Some people haven't even gotten to file a claim. I've experienced my own frustration. I probably don't qualify for the traditional unemployment, but I should qualify for the so-called pandemic unemployment assistance. So the PUA, but that is through the CARES Act that was passed by the U.S. Congress. So that is to help people like that. It's also to help people in the so-called gig economy. There's a lot of moving parts to what's going on right now, and there are a lot of people being hurt. But one person who seems to be more concerned about himself than all the people who are being hurt around him, and not to mention the people who have died, is the President of the United States. And I thought that this was eloquently stated by Anderson Cooper last night on CNN.
And 36 million people out of work. The president signaled once again today that the coronavirus outbreak isn't really about either of those numbers nor those human beings they represent. Instead, once again today, the president made it very clear to him it's about himself, number one. He underscored yet again that he seems to be treating this pandemic as just another battle in the ongoing war of him and him alone against his perceived enemies, whether it's the press, the experts, or even today, a study done under the auspices of government scientists. It's a worldview in which none of what's really happening truly matters, except as it affects the president and his chances for re-election, or even merely annoys him. So today, when asked whether he has a plan to address the needs of the unemployed, he took umbrage. And instead of respecting those 36 million people enough to give a few specifics, he focused instead on himself and how the reporter who was asking on their behalf was allegedly treating him.
Why haven't you announced a plan to get 36 million unemployed Americans back to work? You're overseeing historic economic despair. What's the delay? Where's the plan?
I think we've announced a plan. We're opening up our country. Just a rude person you are. We're opening up our country. We're opening it up very fast. The plan is that each state is opening, and it's opening up very effectively. And when you see the numbers, I think even you will be impressed, which is pretty hard to impress you. Yeah, go ahead, please.
A lot of these jobs are not coming back.
Enough of you, he said, but he had nothing actually specific to say to the 36 million men and women now wondering how to support their families and themselves. He also would not commit to following the rules about wearing masks that apply to everyone or anyone entering the Ford plant that he's visiting on Thursday. Rules, we might add, that so many people seem willing and happy to follow, even if it's a little uncomfortable, to keep others safe from the virus, which is the point of wearing a mask for other people. Here's what the president said about that.
Do you plan to wear one when you go there on Thursday?
I don't know. I haven't even thought of it. It depends. I mean, you know, in certain areas I would, in certain areas I don't. But I will certainly look at it. It depends on what situation. Am I standing right next to everybody or am I spread out? And also, you look, you know, is something a hospital? Is it a ward? Is it, what is it exactly? I'm going to a plant. So we'll see. Where it's appropriate, I would do it, certainly.
Well, if he does, it would be a first, according to our White House team, who say he has never been seen wearing a mask, even though a bit more than a week ago, he made wearing one mandatory for his staff in the West Wing. You recall he's also said it's not his thing, quote, somehow I don't see it for myself. Not even when greeting veterans of the Second World War, and greeting is the word here, honoring these men in their 90s. National treasures they are, the last members of a noble generation, would mean protecting them from a deadly virus by wearing a mask, even if it may not be your thing. Does seem there was at least social distancing. Because it's not about one person. It's about the many people who see that person and model their behavior on what they see. Which brings us to the one item that clearly is the president's thing, the drug hydroxychloroquine, which the president last night said he's now taking, despite studies showing it doesn't help and sometimes causes life-threatening heart problems.
The FDA warned that hydroxychloroquine could cause serious side effects, especially with heart. Why is it okay for you to promote the use of this drug when you're not a doctor and health experts are working?
Well, I've worked with doctors, and if you look at the one survey, the only bad survey, they were giving it to people that were in very bad shape. They were very old, almost dead. It was a Trump enemy statement.
It was a Trump enemy statement. Only in this time right now, I mean, only in this environment that we are living in, could a study, a scientific study, been deemed by the President of the United States a Trump enemy statement.
So there you have that. So anyway, the president, you know, all these doctors, and I'm sure Fox News will find some outliers, just like they do on climate change, when the overwhelming majority of climate scientists in the world believe there is climate change taking place. It's not anything that's debatable, but Fox can always find a few doctors or, I mean, pardon me, a few scientists to come in and say, hey, there's no climate change. What are they talking about? And I'm sure Fox will, in fact, I read somewhere that they are trying to dig up some doctors who will try to back up the president on hydroxychloroquine. But the simple fact is that this is a dangerous drug. And as Cooper pointed out there, these aren't people who are against the president. These are people who are for science and for public safety. This drug has been used for years. The president's correct when he says that, but not for prophylactic purposes. That is to say, he seems to think that by taking this drug, he's somehow preventing himself from catching COVID-19. And that's just simply not true. But we're going to find out soon enough. I'm just trying to see where I'm at here. I wanted to go to one more thing, speaking of that, by where they talked to some doctors about that. This is across several formats. This is Fox News, I believe MSNBC and CNN, and they all come to the same conclusion. Not a good idea, Mr. President.
For the president to have come out and make that statement.
A lot of good things have come out about the hydroxy. A lot of good things have come out. You'd be surprised at how many people are taking it, especially the frontline workers. A lot of doctors take it. I happen to be taking it. I'm taking it, hydroxychloroquine. A couple of weeks ago, I started taking it. Because I think it's good. I've heard a lot of good stories. What do you have to lose?
The fact of the matter is, though, when the president said, what have you got to lose? In a number of studies, those certainly vulnerable to the population have one thing to lose, their lives. If you are in a risky population here and you are taking this as a preventative treatment to ward off the virus, or in a worst case scenario, you are dealing with the virus, it will kill you. I cannot stress enough, this will kill you.
Why would the president be taking hydroxychloroquine?
I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. I found it to be highly irresponsible for the president to have come out and make that statement. And I would like to hear from the White House physician to come out tomorrow and explain to me what has changed in a week and a half or 2 weeks for the president to take this medication when all the data that has been coming out very repetitively has shown that there's really not a major benefit. In most hospitals, including mine, we're not using chloroquine in the treatment of COVID patients at the present time, and we have one of the largest population of COVID admissions in our medical center. Well, anecdotal evidence right now is really not helpful.
He shouldn't be taking it. I mean, you know, his own FDA has said that this is still something under investigation. It should not be taken outside of a clinical trial.
Asked about what research he has that this is a preventative wonder drug, the president cited the New England Journal of I Heard It From a Guy.
Can you explain, sir, though, what is the evidence that it has a preventative effect?
Here we go. You ready? Here's my evidence. I get a lot of positive calls about it.
I don't even know that he's really taking it, by the way. But why wouldn't he take it if he says he's taking it? What, are you crazy? No. It's a fight that he can win and that the media will take on and that his opponents may take on. And it's all a beautiful distraction.
Sometimes I talk about bright, shiny objects that the president tries to get us to follow, or talk about separating the signal from the ground noise. And this certainly was thrown out as a distraction because the president always wants to distract from his failures.
A drug called chloroquine, and some people would add to it hydroxychloroquine. Take it. I really think they should take it. And I say, try it.
Well, there you go. There's the advice from Dr. Trump. And, of course, the real doctors disagree with him. By the way, the number here is 330-595-1600. That's 330-595-1600. Even if you don't call, write it down. One of these days, some of you people who don't call are going to decide, you know what? I do want to call. I want to make a comment, whether you agree or disagree. I want to hear from you. But also I want to say welcome to everybody who is who has joined the program so far. Hello to Trina. Hello to Larry. Hello to Linda. Who else is there? Well, I'll scroll down. I'll get to you because last time I left some people out, and that was not my intention. But the whole thing of this drug, hydroxychloroquine, being used as a preventative for COVID-19, well, I think this the following story kind of tears this apart, because we have a situation here. As I stated earlier, this drug has been used for lupus, for rheumatoid arthritis, and malaria. It has not been declared to be an anti-COVID-19 drug. Case in point, this lady who has lupus and has been taking hydroxychloroquine for 19 years. But let's see what happened in her case.
Of the pandemic, Kim says she only left her home in EconoWalk for the grocery store, but by mid-April started having coronavirus symptoms.
Coughing, fever was very high.
Kim, who doesn't want to show her face or full name, has lupus. She's taken hydroxychloroquine for 19 years to help with the pain. When she started feeling sick last month, her doctor prescribed antibiotics, but her condition quickly worsened. She tested positive at an urgent care for coronavirus.
When they gave me the diagnosis, I felt like it was a death sentence.
Well, Kim says after going to the emergency room here in Summit, she had to stay in the hospital for a week on oxygen and receiving plasma.
I'm like, how can I be sick? How? I'm on hydroxychloroquine. And they're like, well, nobody's ever said that was the cure.
A lot of good things have come out about the hydroxy. A lot of good things have come out. And you'd be surprised at how many people are taking it, especially the frontline workers, before you catch it.
But some doctors say taking the drug when you don't have a condition like Kim's can be dangerous.
There is a potential for cardiac abnormalities, abnormal heart rhythm, eye issues, retinopathy.
Kim, who's still on oxygen a month after getting sick, says she's living proof the drug does not do anything to protect from the virus.
Kind of makes me mad that he thinks that it's going to do that, and telling the whole world it's going to do that.
In EconoWalk, Caroline Reinwald, WISN 12 News.
Okay, so there you have that. And I hope that makes you think about it if you are debating whether or not trying to get that. I don't know if any local doctors would prescribe it to you for Trump's purpose. So there you are, 19 years on the drug, and she still got COVID-19. So much for the president's endorsement. I think it's irresponsible. I've never seen a U.S. president stand there and tell people to take a drug of any kind. Certainly not a drug that's questionable. Certainly not a drug that the Veterans Administration, the FDA, several studies have proven. Let's remember that people have died from taking this because of the side effects. By the way, I also welcome Brian to the show. Hello there, Brian. And Trina says, let the dude take the pill. And I'm thinking, I'm down with that. Because there's, let's see who's right here, if he's taking it. Because we're talking about Donald Trump here. If Donald Trump told me it was raining, I'd put my umbrella away. So we'll see what happens. But we'll if the president suddenly is missing in action or is taken to Walter Reed, we'll know why, won't we? But also, there's another thing that there's a great story on CNN did a great story on someone who recovered. Because let's remember, of course, the overwhelming number of people recover. But you don't just walk away from this. There are long-lasting effects. And this is Dr. Sanjay Gupta talking to a patient. And it's his progress is remarkable, but he still has some side effects.
He said, I need to do a rather aggressive treatment on you. Do you have a wife and children? If so, we need to call them and tell them, you need to essentially tell them goodbye. because you have about a 20% chance of surviving this.
I can't even imagine. I mean, is it hard to talk about?
The hardest part of all to remember is the phone call to my wife and kids. I mean, that was just awful.
What started as a cough and a fever ended with 49-year-old Michael Herbert in the ICU on a ventilator for 7 days, unsure if he'd ever see his family again.
I didn't know what was going to happen, if I was going to wake up or not.
In all the numbers we hear about coronavirus, number infected, number who have sadly died, we haven't heard as much about another group of patients, those who have recovered.
There are more than a million people that have recovered. Many people are doing very well. There may be some individuals who will have some long-term effects because it depends on how severe the virus was.
How are you doing? What does recovery mean for you?
When I first got out of the hospital, I was very weak, and I'd been told by the doctors, the pulmonologists in particular, that my lungs would probably take 4 to 8 weeks to heal.
Was that a concern that you might have long-term impacts on your lungs?
I can tell they're not 100% right now, and I guess I shouldn't expect them to be. They told me it would be a while for them to be all the way back. Again, just like everybody else, I think there's a lot of unknown here.
There are still a lot of unknowns, and even studying recovery of coronavirus patients seemed like a luxury in the early days of this pandemic.
Today is pretty intense.
But now Dr. Reynold Panettiere is trying to decipher these unknowns by conducting a six-month study of coronavirus patients who have recovered.
There's several cases and participants who've described this ongoing fatigue and malaise, a feeling of not well. What is curious is these patients, pre-morbid or prior to the infection, were even aggressive athletes. We would not have predicted that.
One thing that could help predict long-term effects is looking at what happened during other coronavirus outbreaks. Take a look at this. Those are fibrous stripes on the lungs. It almost looks like spattered paint. These could be an early sign of pulmonary fibrosis. That's a type of scarring of the lungs. Previous studies of coronaviruses like SARS and MERS have identified patients who had long-lasting fibrosis. And now we are seeing reports of COVID-19 patients with the same fibrous stripes on their CT scans. It's another example of what we're still learning, from infection to recovery. We're still not sure exactly how this virus will truly affect us long term.
It's 6 weeks since you are, quote, you know, off the breathing machine and in the process of recovery. How are you doing 6 weeks later?
I'm doing so much better. When I finally got to see them again, eventually, once I was taken off the ventilator, it was like the best thing that ever happened to me.
And Sanjay's back with us. Sanjay, many people, especially those who are young and healthy, I think that they think you might get coronavirus, you'll be sick for a couple days, but then you'll be immune and everything's fine. And you and I both know people, young, healthy people, that's not the case necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth pointing out, as we have since the beginning, that, you know, thankfully, most people aren't going to have much in the way of symptoms. Some people may have no symptoms at all. But I think what has been striking about this, Jake, is exactly what we saw with Mr. Herbert and several other patients, even young patients, patients who really did not have significant disease beforehand, didn't even think they were going to get this virus, find themselves in the hospital, find themselves deteriorate quickly within the hospital. I feel fine. I'm okay. All of a sudden, they need a breathing tube and then be on a breathing machine. They recover, but then they have these prolonged problems. I can't walk a block without getting shortness of breath. Now, some of that is just from being in the hospital and the ICU alone, but it seems to persist longer. And then you saw the longer-term scarring on the CT scans that we saw with SARS and MERS, and now we're seeing with COVID. So this is going to need to be followed. I mean, we're still early days into this, but this is what they're starting to look at in terms of recovery.
And we've also heard how underlying disease can be a factor in those who get coronavirus. What do we know about how underlying disease might affect recovery?
All right. let's move on because I've got other things I want to talk about. But again, that segment did run a little long, but I thought there was a lot of information there. For those of you who think this is just a young man's, just an old man's disease, and that, hey, guess what, I'll get it, I'll shake it off and move on. This guy still can't walk a block without getting winded. So he's not out of the woods yet, but he did survive, and he seems to be doing a whole lot better, and thank God for that. Also, the number here is 330-595-1600, and I want to hear from you, even if you're mad, I want to hear from you, because somebody says they're mad and they're not going to call. But also, I want to say hello to Rick, my brother from another mother, former GM worker there. Glad to see you there, man, and hope everything's going well for you. Who else is there? Ed? All right. Hey, well, what's up yourself, Slick? Good to see people are responding, and I'm glad to have you with me. As I said, though, the show's a whole lot better when you participate. And once again, the number is 330-595-1600. There's something else that came out in all this. There's been, this president, and I make no mistake about it, it's not a personal thing with me. It's just a matter of when you look at the history, how presidents in the past have behaved. Richard Nixon, at the height of Watergate, was not nearly as nasty as Donald Trump is toward the media. You've got a situation here where Morning Joe, we just crossed, well, we're approaching 100,000 deaths. We're at 93,000-plus deaths. And the president started his day yesterday by touting the fact that Fox and Friends got better ratings than Morning Joe. I don't know if you've noticed, but also the president of the United States has accused Joe Scarborough of Morning Joe of murder, say calling it a cold case. In case you're unaware of the background there, what happened was years ago when Scarborough was running for Congress, and he is a Republican, but he's not a Trump Republican. When he was running for office, one of his campaign workers suffered a heart event. She passed out, bumped her head, and it was a fatal situation. There was never any kind of criminal activity suspected. The cops were never called in. The president of the United States actually called this a cold case. I want to play this first. I do have a call. Caller, hold on, because I think Mika, who is now married to Joe, expresses the anger about the depravity. Actually, the word's depravity, isn't it? No, it's depravity. Yes. There we go. See, that's why Joe's here, to keep me straight. He's not Morning Joe. He's Afternoon Joe. All right. And because it is depraved. You've got a personal issue with somebody, but then you start these disgusting attacks. You're not just some guy with an opinion, sir. You're the president of the United States. And Mika takes him to task.
In coronavirus cases, by a lot. The U.S. is just over 4% of the world's population, yet represents 31% of total cases. And the president somehow thinks that's a good thing.
When we have a lot of cases, I don't look at that as a bad thing. I look at that as, in a certain respect, as being a good thing, because it means our testing is much better. So if we were testing a million people instead of 14 million people, we would have far fewer cases, right? So I view it as a badge of honor. Really, it's a badge of honor. It's a great tribute to the testing and all of the work that a lot of professionals have done.
I mean, aside from the fact that most believe that this president has botched this crisis from the get-go, and this will be known in history worldwide as a human catastrophe that he could have prevented. And he's trying to deflect at all times. And Willie and Mike, he's tweeting again all sorts of crazy things. Once again, tweeting conspiracy theories about Joe, falsely accusing him of murder, talking about the death of a young staffer in his congressional office years ago. and calling him dangerous to walk the streets. And I'll just say, I'll take a point of personal privilege here. That's sick. Donald, you're a sick person. You're a sick person. To put this family through this, to put her husband through this, to do this just because you're mad at Joe, because Joe got you again today, because he speaks the truth and he speaks plainly about your lack of interest and empathy in others and your lack of ability to handle this massive human catastrophe, the fact that you've made it worse and that you make it worse every day and that you won't even wear a mask to protect people from your germs. But the germs you're spreading on Twitter, first of all, Twitter, you shouldn't be allowing this, and you should be taking these tweets down, and you should be ashamed of yourself. You'll be hearing from me on this, because this is BS. But Donald, you're a sick person. You're really a cruel, sick, disgusting person. And you can keep tweeting about Joe, but you're just hurting other people. And of course, you're hurting yourself. Willie, why don't...
Thanks for checking out MS.
So there we go. And I think I totally agree. I mean, and this, the same thing she said there, this is what bothers me about this president. You wait and see. If by chance he does lose in November, he will not have the grace to accept the fact that the American people made a different choice. He will spend his last 2 months in office casting all kinds of aspersions on the election system, insulting the media. He will be attacking Joe Biden, his potential successor. He doesn't care who he hurts as long as he gets even. He will not have the decency to walk away if he loses gracefully. He will continue to lash out because the most important person on the face of the earth to Donald Trump is Donald Trump. Let's take that call, though. Trina's on the line, and hello, Trina.
Hello, Mo. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. What do you think of the show so far?
I love the show every time. You always give us good information, and then some things that we don't even know you bring to the forefront. But I'm an angry viewer, and what I want to say about Donald Trump, on the last note when you said he'll take the last 2 months to just try to destroy everything, that's what he's going to do. He'll take those last couple months to try to destroy whatever he hasn't already touched. He wakes up every day with a mission to kill us, period. Even his own supporters. Because those are the only dummies that's going to go and run and take that pill is the people that follow him.
Well, by
not us, because we know better.
We definitely do. And by the way, he's also pushing to, because you notice he'll mention it only when he's asked about a reporter. When Donald Trump makes an announcement or tweets about something, it's usually to his benefit, talking about he's talking up the economy again. He's talking up the fact that all the states have reopened to some degree. So he's trying to get things going, great guns, so we can say, so that he can get reelected. It's all, no matter how many people are dying in the meantime, no matter how many people are infected, the main thing is Trump getting
right.
Trump back in the White House. I understand your anger, by the way.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that we need to get back to work. I understand that part. But Mike DeWine, to me, he's hustling backwards because one minute he's on one page, then when Donald Dump decides he want to open things back up, they have to gradually do what he says. And they're moving too fast, entirely too fast. How can we open the fares up? Who's going to clean behind every single ride as soon as somebody get off? How can you social distance in the fare line? How can you social distance in the food line? To me, it's just a trap, and this is just bait to just kill us all.
Well, I think what you're saying is what Mr. Darwin talked about, survival of the fittest, and that is the mentally fittest as well. And I think mm-hmm. the people who have a brain will listen to the scientists and the doctors and not Donald Trump. I do, as far as DeWine, overwhelmingly, I think he's done a good job in the state of Ohio. As bad as things are, they could have been a lot worse if he hadn't listened to his medical director, Amy Acton. By the way, Dr. Acton is actually featured in Glamour magazine this mm-hmm. month. You might want to take a look at that. She's being noticed nationally and respected. Of of course, you've got the haters here who, and you see some of the disgusting signs they had and all that. But I'm glad I live in a state where the governor has mostly taken it seriously. And let's be clear, it's not the president so much that is pushing him to open things. It is those protesters. It is his fellow Republicans in down at in Columbus. They are Larry Householder, basically the speaker. He said that he felt that the Republicans were being disrespected by their own governor. I'm thinking, no, you're not being disrespected. It's just that this governor has done everything he can up to this point to make sure that greed did not override public safety. But these guys, they're getting it from their constituency. They're getting it from their business owners and the people who feel like they're losing everything. And as I said, that is an issue. I wouldn't want to lose a business that I had built from the ground up. But we are going to see a rebound, Trina. I mean, and that's the other thing, the skepticism among Republicans, where in the low, 20% or so, 25% at most, believe that there's going to be a rebound of COVID-19. We're going to find out who's right. I'll take no joy in it, but I think science will win the day. And these people who are so greedy, and not only that, how about the ones that they feel like it's worth risking your life to go party, man? I just want to party. Well, we'll see what happens. But I think we're going to see this late summer, early fall, a rebound. But I do appreciate you calling. Anything else before?
Thank you. I just want to say one more thing. How can you open up the bars and expect an alcoholic or even somebody that's just tipsy to do social distancing? You see what happened in Columbus. I think the bars should have been the last thing to open.
Well,
that's just my opinion. I mean, I know that we all like a little drink, a little something to eat, but if you notice, the restaurants are pulling back. I have shut my catering business down to the point where you have to come get your food. I'm not going to set up anywhere. I don't trust nothing they're saying because they really don't know. They're learning as they go, all the way down to the kids getting this infection in their lungs and all that. They don't know what they're doing. So the best thing for any of us to do is hold ourselves accountable and take care of ourselves, because other than that, it's all bad.
Well, see, that was a beautiful call. I thank you for calling, and you weren't going to call. I think you said some very good things there, and I thank you, my friend. Okay, that was Trina, and more comments. Hey, Dina. Oh, no, Deanna Marie, hello. She says, great point, survival of the intelligently fit. Be smart. Unfortunately, if others act without caution, it makes it more risky for all of us. And that's true. Debbie says, he has to lose in November. I want his name to disappear from our vocabulary and remove POTUS from the Twitter handle. And by the way, I always like to say, when it comes to POTUS, which means President of the United States, Donald Trump puts the P-O-S in POTUS. But daily, folks. But let's see, who else is here? Felice. Hello, lady. Hello, Felice. Good to hear from you and glad to have you in the house. Tell your friends and let's tell people about what we're doing here. This is the other side. You get that constant drumbeat from Fox News and even the station that I am furloughed from right now, I hear some people say that they believe it's unlistenable because they're even getting into conspiracy theories and that kind of thing themselves. Hopefully I will be back when things settle down a little bit. I look forward to it. I've not been fired. I have been furloughed. And when I come back, the other side of talk radio will take on all these issues. I was insulted the other day by a guy who said that I was uninformed and I never had good sources. I'll let you judge for yourself. If this person's good source is Donald Trump's tweets, then maybe that's why he can't figure out what a good source is. Oh, what am I getting there? Oh, just a lot of love from Trina. And, thank you, Debbie. I like that line, too. Okay. All right, let's look at, but by the way, an offshoot of this. Speaking of the people who won't wear masks, this is the most bizarre story because it unfolded Well, I'll just let the story tell itself. This happened in, where did I write it down? This happened in Colorado at a Waffle House.
An American tradition continues.
Join me, Joe Mantegna.
And me, Gary Sinise.
For a special presentation of the National Memorial Day Concert.
Well,
with performances from around the country honoring all of our American heroes. Featuring General Colin Powell, Sam Elliott, Cynthia Erivo.
I mean, it's 15 seconds. How are you doing?
Okay. Yeah, we'll let that run out. But it's worth it. And I did get a good piece of advice. I might have some editing software coming up real quick, so we'll avoid these embarrassing situations. But yeah, let's check out this story of the Waffle House.
He was shot in the chest for refusing to serve this customer without a mask. On the front doors of this Aurora Waffle House, signs make it clear face coverings must be worn by all customers. But according to an arrest affidavit released Tuesday, 27-year-old Kelvin Watson took exception to that request, shooting a 25-year-old cook outside the store. According to a waitress, it all started just after midnight Thursday when Watson came into the restaurant not wearing a mask and was told he needed one to order. Watson reportedly left, then came back with a mask he was not wearing, at which point workers say he pulled out a small silver handgun and placed it on the counter, telling the cook, "I can blow your brains out right now." Police say Watson eventually left, but came back the next night and was once again told he needed a mask to be served. Police say Watson then slapped the cook, who ran to a back entrance where he was followed by Watson, who shot him in the chest. We stopped by the victim's apartment today, where a family member said he's been released from the hospital and is expected to be okay. Waffle House releasing this statement, saying in part, "We are relieved to hear an arrest has been made, and we are very thankful to hear the injuries are non-life-threatening." Watson is facing charges of attempted first-degree murder. He is free after posting a $100,000 bond. Reporting in Denver, Evan Krugel.
Now, how about that? And I apologize for the sound was a little low in that story, but the thing is, here's a guy who took a lot of thought here. He was told on a Thursday that he needed a mask to be served. He puts a gun on the counter. They should have called the cops then. But then the guy comes back the next night and ends up actually shooting this man over a request to wear a mask. We're in a sick country right now. By the way, comment from Felice. She says, "Hey, great show. I just hope Democrats led by Congressman Ryan bring back justice to our country by prosecuting most of the Trump administration." Well, you know, let's just try to get a win first, okay? And then we'll see where it goes. And tell you the truth, as bad as things are, unless there's some really grievous crimes, I just want to move on. If Joe Biden can make this happen, I just want to move on. I think we have hearing fatigue in this country. There's between Mueller, between Kavanaugh, there's going to be hearings by the Republicans. They're taking on the so-called Obamagate, which, by the way, is nothing. Obamagate is it's a nothing burger. It's a clear distraction from the fact that the president's ineptitude continues, that the deaths continue to rise in this country, that there's still problems with the supply chain for PPE and the test. A lot of stuff is not right, no matter how the president keeps waving his flag and being a cheerleader for himself. But the wheels are falling off so-called Obamagate. His own attorney general has decided that this is not anything he wants to look into, at least not regarding former President Obama and former president, hopefully future president, Joe Biden. Yes, his own attorney general says there's nothing there. To be clear, some people will be looked at. They're looking at Sally Yates. They're looking at Susan Rice. And they're looking at others. But there is no Obamagate. Obamagate is just as fake as the deep state the president is always talking about. And in case you don't know what that is, the deep state is a conspiracy theory saying that there's a bunch of people there in the government who are trying to bring Trump down. I got news for you, Mr. President. It didn't change when you got there. If I'm a federal employee trying to get my 30 years in, that means that I will serve under presidents of both parties. And I'm sure there were people that didn't like Obama. I'm sure there were people who didn't like Bush. But they weren't a deep state. They were just going to work every day doing their job. So when you hear that talk, that's another one of Trump's conspiracy theories. He didn't start it. That was from the Steve Bannon group and other people like that. They believe that that's there, that there are people out there actively working against the president. Of course, you did have those emails that were intercepted between the FBI agent Peter Strzok and his girlfriend, who was a lawyer. And they were having an affair, and they just couldn't see Trump winning. They just couldn't see it. And they spoke out. You know, they were the ones that made a comment about, even if Trump wins, we have an insurance policy. And you know, they tried to make a big deal about that. But just think about what we're saying here, folks. A single rogue FBI agent was going to bring down the president of the United States. Utter nonsense. But let's listen to the president when he's asked about the fact that his own attorney general has decided there's no there with Obamagate.
The question for you, Attorney General Barr says he is unlikely to have any criminal investigation of either Barack Obama or Joe Biden. You've been talking about what you call the greatest political crime in American history. What do you think of Mr. Barr's decision?
Well, I think if it was me, they would do it. I think for them, maybe they're not going to. I don't know. I'm surprised because Obama knew everything that was happening. I don't think Obama knows where he is in a lot of ways. I saw his statements the other day, and I think that, frankly, they weren't very good. It's President Obama. As far as Biden's concerned, I can't tell you. Only he knows what he knows. I don't think he knows too much. But I think Obama and Biden knew about it. They were participants. But so I'm a little surprised by that statement. I don't think he said it quite the way you said it. I think he said as of this moment, I guess. But if it was me, I guarantee they'd be going after me. In his case, they're not. So I think it's just a continuation of a double standard. I'm surprised by it. But that's where it is. And I don't know what he said about the others. You have to understand I was coming into this room as that statement was being made. So I don't know exactly.
First off, Trump just said the sentence, and I quote, "Obama knew everything that was happening. I don't think Obama knows where he is, where he, you know, is in a lot of ways." The fact that this guy's campaign is trying to paint Joe Biden as confused when that is an actual quote that fell out of Trump's mouth shows that projection really is a thing. Now, this is Trump reacting to the quote-unquote news that Attorney General Bill Barr won't be opening criminal investigations into former President Obama and Joe Biden.
The criminal justice system will not be used for partisan political ends. And this is especially true for the upcoming elections in November. Now, as to President Obama and Vice President Biden, whatever their level of involvement, based on the information I have today, I don't expect Mr. Durham's work will lead to a criminal investigation of either man. Our concern over potential criminality is focused on others.
As if this is...
And there we go. So... what Obamagate? And I've noticed the hashtags even kind of dissipated. But I'm sure they'll still talk it up on Fox. And by the way, they've already proved one of my points. I said when Obamagate fizzles, they'll double back to Hunter Biden. So now you're going to start hearing about Hunter Biden again. That's all they've got, a whole lot of nothing. But it gets worse. Let me see. Did I slide that in? Yes. This was an interview, and this is another liberal site, of course, but they got this from Fox News, and Kellyanne Conway is being asked about Joe Biden, and just notice her tone here. And by the way, Vice President Biden made it clear that he will be picking a female running mate, but notice the way this is characterized by Kellyanne Conway.
Susan Rice is being talked about as a potential VP nominee for Joe Biden. Your thoughts not just on that, but big picture here. What kind of accountability then are you calling for? It's one thing to have hearings on Capitol Hill, as Lindsey Graham wants to, but John Durham is doing this investigation. A lot of speculation. Chuck Grassley and others have said something may be coming in the next few weeks. What are you expecting?
You've seen the long short list of Joe Biden's VP choices. They all happen to be female. He sounds like a co-ed at the end of a frat party. I need a woman. So now he has binders of women he's looking through. And he's got people like Sally Yates and Susan Rice allegedly on this list. And those are two women who were very involved in this, in the shenanigans that were happening in the days before we got here to the Trump White
Enough. No, it's not like I need a woman. It's just like just because I think it's long overdue. We've had, Geraldine Ferraro way back when was a vice presidential candidate under Walter Mondale. And then you have later John McCain and Sarah Palin. So we've gotten mighty close. But I think it may be time. I think women may make a big difference in this election, because if anybody's turned on this president, I'm not saying in great numbers, but some women who took a chance on Donald Trump have had buyer's remorse, because they thought, like I thought, that he might settle down a little bit after the campaign, that all the theatrics and all the juvenile behavior were just to get elected. Once he became president, he would feel the weight of the office, as Barack Obama called it. But of course, what we've seen is a guy who's only gotten worse. Even if you listen to what he said about the fact that Obama and Biden are not being looked at, it always, as Anderson Cooper pointed out, comes back to him. If it were me, they'd go after me. It's a double standard. Me, me, me. We need a president who's worried about all of us. And we need a president who is the president of all the United States, whether their governor is a Republican or a Democrat. Not a guy who takes petty pot shots at people just because they have a D behind their name. But that's what we've got right now in Trump. Just wanted to check out a few more comments. Oh, hello, Rose. Oh, thank you. She says it's a good show. Thank you. And let's see, who else? It proves Kellyanne is a man dissing women. Well, I'm not going to go there. That was Debbie. Let's not do this. And Casey's in Kentucky, and she says 100 years of women's right to vote this year. It's time. You're absolutely right. It's time. And a lot of people try to conveniently forget that. And they try to, and let's remember that the right to vote was granted to women, or gained, I should say, by women, under a Democratic president, named Woodrow Wilson. Wilson had some things I didn't like about him. I never knew until recently that Woodrow Wilson was a notorious racist, and there's plenty of quotes to back that up. But he did he's pushed by his wife a lot on this, but he did push for women being able to vote after years of not being able to. And think about that. By the way, did you realize that it was the 1920s before Native Americans, the people who were here when the Europeans got here, did not gain citizenship in this country until the 1920s. Women didn't gain the right to vote until 2020, or was it 2019? Either way, you know, when you start talking like this, the people who talk about American exceptionalism, we are an exceptional country, but in some areas we've been exceptionally bad. We've left people out, and now we're trying to bring those people to the table. And I don't think the Republican Party is bringing people to the table, at least a diverse group of people to the table, nearly as well as the Democrats are. But it all means nothing if you don't vote. It all means nothing. Take a friend if you have to. Make sure you're registered. Make sure everything is straight. Let's correct this terrible error that was made in 2016. This country cannot stand four more years of Donald Trump. Real quick here, though, the funniest thing I've seen, that's it. The Daily Show did something pretty interesting. Some of the insults that the Fox flock has been throwing at Joe Biden, they took those comments and they replaced footage of Biden with footage of Trump, and it fits perfectly. Take a look at this.
of the subject matter.
And then I see the disinfectant where it knocks it out in a minute.
He can't string a coherent sentence together.
More than ever before, we've held our rate, the numbers, everything we've done.
Stumbles all over his sentences, starts rattling off.
They can do as they want. They can do what they have to do. They know what they have to do.
We've already seen how his mental faculties are declining.
But you know, they had a debate in, it was really a rough time in our country.
He's just not articulate enough to be the leader of the free world.
We want to win the war with as few, if you look at it, just deaths as possible.
Day after day, it's embarrassing. Watch him.
We have, I call it the super duper missile.
He lies with ease.
Anybody that wants a test can get a test.
Some of his appearances lately have been just downright disturbing.
I happen to be taking it.
Hydroxychloroquine.
I'm taking it. Hydroxychloroquine.
This type of agitated behavior is part of an increasing disturbing pattern.
Why don't you act in a little more positive? It's always trying to get you. You know you're a fake. Just a loudmouth. Maybe that's a question you should ask China.
I feel bad for him. He's where a lot of us will be in late middle age, and it's set.
A what? Oh, fuck. Uh-oh.
You know, he's old. He's creepy.
The professionals did the models. I was never involved in a model. But at least this kind of a model.
Just roll the tape and the creepy things that he's doing to people on camera. We've seen how creepy he is with women.
I'll go backstage before a show.
Yes.
And everyone's getting dressed and ready. And I'm allowed to go in because I'm the owner of the pageant, and therefore I'm inspecting it. Is everyone okay? You know, they're standing there with no clothes. Is everybody okay? And you see these incredible-looking women.
She even noted his handsy history of touching people.
I've said that if Ivanka weren't my daughter, perhaps I'd be dating her.
He's very creepy. Can't make this up.
Hey, when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab him by the pussy.
Thank you very much.
Well, there you have it. And I thought that was excellent because the same things they're trying to say about Biden, you could easily say about the president of the United States. But we'll see what happens, folks. I am definitely concerned about this. I don't want any of you. I see people on Facebook. They just, you know, look, just because you think this guy sucks doesn't mean everybody does. And I'm telling you, the Trump base is energized. It doesn't even matter to them. The death count doesn't matter. They don't blame any of that on him. I don't know who you blame it on when the president of the United States. Let's remember, as I stated, the first case was January 22nd. What did he do during February? We've talked about it before. He golfed a lot. He had Trump rallies. And by the way, he's talking about reopening the Trump rallies as soon as possible, very soon. I look forward to that. Terrible thing to say, but maybe there'll be a few less people able to go vote for him. I mean, if that's the way you want to play it, if you trust the wisdom of Donald Trump over medical science, over doctors, and over the fact that there are over 93,000 Americans dead because of this disease, and you think it's a good idea to gather a bunch of people together for one of your ego rallies, knock yourself out, Mr. President. I just want to say thank you for spending this hour with us. I want to thank Joe. Great job on the buttons, Joe.
All right.
And I want to thank all of you. I want to ask you to stay safe. I know that's become almost a cliche, but so many of our fellow Americans aren't taking this seriously. So you take care of yourself and your family. God bless you. I'm Mo Ray saying, as I always do, keep your eyes on the prize.